Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, entitled Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 25, text number 26. Please repeat after me. Brahma bandho kime tatte vipaksham shrayata sata asaram grahito balo mam anadritya durmate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O unqualified, most heinous son of a Brahmana, you have disobeyed my order and taken shelter of the party of my enemies. You have taught this poor boy about devotional service. What is this nonsense? Purport. In this verse, the word asaram, meaning having no substance, is significant. For a demon, there is no substance in the process of devotional service. But to a devotee, devotional service is the only essential factor in life. Since Hiranyakashipu did not like devotional service, the essence of life, he chastised Prahlad Maharaj's teachers with harsh words. Hare Krishna. O unqualified, most heinous son of a Brahmana, you have disobeyed my order and taken shelter of the party of my enemies. You have taught this poor boy about devotional service. What is this nonsense? I seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas and highly learned personalities who are present here. I am very much embarrassed by my own false ego, and I am threatened. In fact, just as so many devotees there, some of the devotees are leaving for the West today. How it feels in front of a dreadful immigration officer. It is something like that. Because to speak at other places, it is easier. Here, this temple, our temple happens to be a place where so many devotees have so high standards of practice of devotional service. So many realizations. So, I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas present here. In fact, in one of the Brahmachari classes, Gopinath Prabhu was explaining, I think a story from the Panchatantra, that once there was a foolish boy, shepherd. But it was seen that at times he was standing on some stone and speaking great words of wisdom. And people used to wonder that how is this person speaking such great wisdom. And the moment he used to go down from the stone, step down, immediately his foolishness was always exposed. So they realized that it's actually that stone which is so potent. So, in the course of the discussion, if there is something which can please someone, or that is my intention to render some service to myself for my own purification, and also if someone for the next 30 minutes he is able to tolerate me very peacefully. So, if something happens like that, you can consider that is the power of this Vyasa Sun, where great personalities have come and spoken so many things. over all these years. Otherwise, you can actually see, I don't need to speak, what is the state. So today's verse, in fact, most of the when I was contemplating on the pastimes of Hiranyakashipu, I was thinking that this is a great criminal story. Nothing less than that. Actually, there is a difference between ordinary gundas and criminals. As far as my experience or my observation goes, those who are small timers, they don't wish that their children should become criminals. I've seen many of them. They commit some amount of crime, but they don't wish that their own children be a part of that. But those who are the big times, like the mafias or kind of terrorists, they want their children to inherit their legacy. As if they were doing something so great, as we used to read this poem in the school, Footprints in the Sand of Time. So they feel that they are creating an influence on this world and they want their generations to carry on that legacy. So similarly, actually Hiranyakashipu is also no ordinary person like that. He's a man with a mission. In today's terms, if we say like that, then we could term him like a terrorist or maybe a jihadi. Those whose only goal, of course, is just to ensure that there is proper chaos always at any point of time. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu also, the Bhagavatam explains very beautifully. Very chaotically the verses are explained. How Hiranyakashipu actually had a systematic plan to destroy the universe. He first wanted to kill the Brahmanas. Meanwhile, he wanted his other people to ensure that the Varnashram system is brought down. So these typical, the specific words are used that he was not any kind of ordinary person who was just whimsically acting. He had a systematic plan, well intelligent approach to actually remove the faith of people, to destroy the Varnashram system, also to create famines, to remove the plants and vegetation. In that way, create a control over society, make a fool of the demigods, and then people will depend on him, and then he will create a system which is very nice. And he was successful. The verses explain that then during his reign, everything was flourishing very nicely. The city was running nicely. The crops would grow nicely. The rains would fall on time. Everything nicely. So this is a typical functioning of a chaotic, of a terrorist or a government who has such policies. In fact, he also wanted Prahlad to inherit his legacy. So what did he do? He established an education system so that generations after generations, the same thing can be carried on. And the kind of studies he was teaching to Prahlad, he wanted was the art of diplomacy, where you convince your opponents to act in your way, or you also try to eliminate them. Finance in such a way, politics, all such things. He wanted him to know all these things with the perspective, not as just as most of us learn history, geography and politics in schools, is just for the sake of knowing it. But Prahlad wanted, Hiranyakashipu wanted Prahlad to learn these things with the perspective that he shall become another terrorist or another person who shall exploit the universe. Srila Prabhupada mentions a very, very nice term in this regard. Just as we have so many Prerana festivals, which have the title power of love, power of renunciation, power of and the art of humility, art of tolerance. So these terms are very good. So Prabhupada explains one more term here, that Hiranyakashipu was teaching Prahlad the art of exploitation. And there was a so in his process of teaching the art of exploitation, this story Prabhupada, when he was giving class on one of these subjects, he was telling that this is the story of a wonderful boy, Prahlad, boy devotee, whose father is not only materially strong, who is not only most atheistic, but also materially strong. So such was his father. And look at the combination. His son is a very, in fact the Bhagavatam says, among the pure devotees, among the perfect pure devotees, the most perfect is Prahlad. So there is a combination. Now there is a discussion or an argument which begins. This is the second verse which we have been reading all this time. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnum Smaranam. That verse is the second time, according to the Bhagavatam, where actually Prahlad was questioned about his education. So it's a discussion between these two personalities, one who is absolutely wrong and one who is speaking the right thing, which created a revolution. As one, there is nothing special amongst the association of pure devotees. This particular pastime would not have any significance, because when there is an association of only pure devotees, some more higher topics are discussed. But this particular pastime, as what one saying I read, that in times of deceit, speaking the truth becomes a revolutionary act. So this was that time where Hiranyakashipu was artificially trying to establish his supremacy over the world, and Prahlad was actually negating that. I was contemplating how we can discuss this. So I remembered how Maharaj used to say this particular point of a bad dog and a good dog, both which reside in one's own consciousness. So I was seeing this pastime, just as so many times Guru Maharaj has told that at the conditioned stage, the heart of a living entity is like, we are tiny Ravanas and tiny Hiranyakashipus, because the tendency to exploit the nature is there. So I was thinking that perspective, that the discussion represents the conflict between a stubbornly atheistic person, Hiranyakashipu, which is an unnatural state of a living entity, and Prahlad, who is a devotee, which is the natural state of a living entity. So with that perspective, I thought I would like to discuss something. Prabhupada says that Hiranyakashipu was stubbornly atheistic. In normal terms, what we understand the word stubborn is like a person who behaves in an irrational way, or he has some kind of habit or behavior which has no logic or reason, but he's just wanting to behave like that. That is the general understanding of the word stubborn. Stubbornly atheistic. Now, as an atheistic person, first of all, it is unnatural. It's an unnatural state to be an atheistic person, to be an atheist. In fact, why it is told that Hiranyakashipu was stubbornly atheistic, Prabhupada mentions, because it was not that Hiranyakashipu did not know who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He actually knew who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, the verse where he says, Tasya Tyaktya Subhavasya, he actually acknowledges that Lord Vishnu, he has forsaken his own constitutional nature. He says that Vishnu is the creator of both demons and demigods, so he has to be impartial to both of them. But now, he himself has left tasya takta swabhavasya, that he has forsaken that particular nature of his and taken the side of the demigods. So there he knew that Vishnu is the source where the demons and demigods come from. But yet, because he felt offended because of his own brother, when he felt offended, his false ego could not take it, could not accept the supremacy. And therefore, to negate that fact, he started creating terror. Or also justifying situations to prove his point that there is no God. And therefore, Prabhupada says he is stubbornly atheistic. When some things go wrong, first of all blame the situation and then create a philosophy, as Govindaraj many times explains. Create a philosophy to support your statements. That means stubbornly atheistic, which is not a natural state of a living entity. And facts don't change just because we are stubborn. Like once Abraham Lincoln, he asked this question, that how many legs does a dog have if you consider its tail as one of the legs? How many? So many answered 5. So he said, no, only 4. Because just considering the tail to be a leg does not mean that the tail has become a leg. That is called the stubbornness. That considering, depending on one's own situations and one's own beliefs, that things are like this and therefore come to certain conclusion. And Hiranyakashipu's beliefs were supported, had a strong foundation of his own false ego, of lust, as his name itself signifies. That is called an unnatural atheistic. In case of devotees, of course, I may transgress my realization. I am speaking what I have heard and mostly very much inspired by Govindpur and other devotees. So, in case of devotees, they are not atheistic. But then there is also that until we are completely theistic, or fully conversant of the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, fully in love with God, potentially we are actually terrorists only, like, because anytime anything can go wrong. Potentially that it's there. Because we are born to, we come in this world for the primary reason to exploit the nature, the resources of the material world. Until we go back to Godhead, it is not that we are fully theistic. So in case of devotees, this same principle comes as not accepting the process with wholeheartedly. That sometimes we accept the process of Krishna consciousness. But then we have our own filters by our own mind and our own conditionings. In fact, one person analyzed the nature of the mind. He said that every living entity has a particular level of conditioning and a mental setup. And based on that particular thing, he agrees or disagrees. If there is a particular statement, which is the truth? If there is a statement which is truth, but if it does not fit in one's own conditionings, and once within one own mind, then we either partially accept it or we don't accept it at all. Even though there are strong, solid reasons in the scriptures and sadhus and so many other things. Everyone can contemplate upon this thing. And yet at this other place, that if there is something which is not very strongly supported by the scriptures, but yet there are some references here and there, and if it fits in our conditioning, we immediately accept that. So that itself shows the nature of the conditioned mind, that it actually does not accept things based on logic, reason and other things. It has its own filters. In fact, in the conditional stage, the truth always keeps on changing until it reaches to the platform of absolute truth where there is no change. The principles are absolute. We can understand this point. I was thinking of an example of my own personal limitations. Eating opulent prasadam. Like, there are so many incidents in the scriptures where it is mentioned that eating opulent prasadam is not good for a devotee. There are typically verses, Maharaj has spoken so many times, Prabhupada has spoken so many times. But still, to imbibe that or accept that becomes so difficult for me. But yet at the same time, scriptures also mention in Prabhupada books, where Prabhupada gives so many quotations, one should eat as much Mahaprasadam as he likes, no problem. Because it is Krishna consciousness, it will fully satisfy, it will bring purification. In the 50th Prerna, we were discussing, making that video that time, Shiksha Sabha mentioned one quote, that in fact Prabhupada said one should eat so much prasadam that he starts quacking like a duck after eating. So when we hear such statements, it's easy for the conditioned mind to immediately accept it. Although there are no strong, solid basis for that to accept. I hope by speaking this I improve. So although there are no strong basis, immediately accept. And there may be so many reasons to not act, to follow it properly, we don't accept. That is what is called as stubbornly atheistic. We cannot say really atheistic, but that is the stubborn nature of the mind, stubbornness of the mind, not to take to the Krishna conscious process fully. In fact, that stubbornness, I was just resolving how Hiranyakashipu is like that negative influence, and then Prahlada is like positive, how the discussion goes on. Of course, since there are so many verses which are going to be following up, and so many other devotees have to speak, so I'll just limit to these 3-4 verses which have been spoken in the past few weeks. In fact, in the 37th verse, in the 4th chapter of the 37th verse of the 4th chapter, the nature of Prahlad is described. Now just see, there is a conflict between a stubbornly atheistic person and an extremely natural conditioned state of a living entity like Prahlad, whose nature is explained as Krishna Graha Grahitatma. That was his nature. Just as in Hindi we say, koi graha nad raha hai, or there is some planetary influence upon this particular child. Like Shani or Rahu, we say, and people wear so many rings. So in fact, it is so wonderfully described, this verse, where the adjective given to Krishna, to Prahlad is Krishna Graha Grahitatma, that he has been possessed by the Krishna Graha, the planet of Krishna. Means, it is a metaphor, but actually it means that Krishna, that he's fully Krishna conscious. He's drenched in Krishna consciousness. That is actually the natural state of a living entity. That is, he is pure in his service to the Lord. So there is a conflict between that particular state and a state where there is atheistic nature is there. In fact, how the conflict develops, that's also not too much significant, but wonderful arrangement of the verses. I was just thinking. When Hiranyakashipu first took Prahlad on the lap to ask, he just asked Prahlad, what is the best that you have learnt? And Prahlad says the words, Tatsadhu Manye Suravarya Dehina, that the answer which Prahlad gives was a kind of a general answer, that self-realization is important. The futility of the material world, that is the essence of that verse. That because the material world is futile, one has to focus on self-realization. And that time, the reaction of Hiranyakashipu was he started laughing. He said, Jahasa buddhir balanam, bhidyate bara buddhibhi. That this is like a childish talk, influence of a child by the enemy party. But then, after a few verses, when Hiranyakashipu takes Prahlad on the lap, again when he asks, it's very wonderfully described. At least in the verses, the purpose don't describe. That Hiranyakashipu was even more emotional this time when he asked this particular question, Shravanam Kirtana. The first time he was in a general state and he asked a general question, what is best you have learnt? And he answered. He gave a general answer. But this time he was even more emotional and tears were gliding down his cheeks. So you can imagine, first of all, a person is atheistic and then he's too sentimental about it. Means a very sensitive situation. And in that state, he asked this question, what have you learned? That yad ashikshat gurur bhavan, that what have you learned from your teachers? And very wonderfully, Prahlad does not say that rather than what teachers have taught me, let me tell you what I have learned. In fact, Prahlad immediately starts, Sharanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. And then in the end he says, that tan manya adhitam uttamam. That this is my opinion that this is the best. So Hiranyakashipu asks what your teachers have taught, but Prahlad says, in my opinion this is the best. Because Prahlad knows that first time he warned the teachers, Hiranyakashipu warned the teachers that take care, what's happening, some enemy camp people are coming in our schools. So he knew that the teachers will be maybe punished. So even while speaking the truth, Prahlad is very considerate towards his own teachers. And he makes this point very clear. According to my opinion. And when Hiranyakashipu hears this, it becomes so difficult. Because he's first of all not only enemy of, he's stubbornly atheistic. Deliberately he has become enemy of the Lord. And then now he's so sentimental about it. Prabhupada says that by natural affection of a father towards his son, he started crying. And when he started crying, he asked, what did you learn? And this person directly gave an answer which was even more grossly truthful. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. In fact, if we see these 9 processes, they are nothing but our activities which we do. They are the functions of our body, mind and soul which are performed throughout the day, practically every day or every moment, either of the activities. So when Prahlad explains this particular point, it is like a big blow to Hiranyakashipu. First time he was indirectly telling Hiranyakashipu that I think that self-realization is good and material world is futile. But now he becomes more specific. He says, hearing the names, hearing, chanting, worshipping, thinking, bowing down, revealing one's heart in confidence, serving, everything. It is as if telling Hiranyakashipu specifically that each of these activities which you are doing is wrong. Try to think. As an atheist who just hates to hear, and then we speak absolutely hardcore principles of Krishna consciousness, what will be the reaction? Hiranyakashipu blasts. That's what the verse says. Asaram grahito balo. That from where this particular child has gathered asar, that which is not truth. And he immediately in the next verse, he chastises his teachers. So, similarly, sometimes it happens that when devotees, when they are performing, like I will explain it in the case of a devotee. There was a devotee, practicing devotee. He was just coming to Krishna consciousness. And then, as we say that, okay, don't watch things which could disturb you. don't hear to the songs which can disturb your consciousness or this and that. So in general, he used to watch a lot of movies. So then he had a, over a period of time, he realized that watching these movies still is not giving me so much pleasure. Continuously watching movies, day in, day out, one after another, it's not giving me pleasure. Yet he was practicing, he was chanting, following everything, but he was slowly, slowly learning to practice more and more sincerely. So when he was finding it difficult, yet his mind was stuck up on one particular thing. He could not come to the conclusion that just exploiting the senses cannot give pleasure. One must control the senses a bit if one wants pleasure. So he said that these movies, I think they are not so good. In fact, if I watch a better movie, then I will be more happy, more happy, more happy. So he was in search of that particular good movie. So in this particular case, it's similar like that. That Hiranyakashipu, he's not ready to accept Prahlad that he is naturally speaking these things. He immediately blames his tools, those Shanda and Amarka are like the tools of the teacher. Those are his tools where he wants his natural, where the state to be subdued. So even when devotees sometimes, they know these verses, they know everything so nicely, but when they come, they fall short of practicing sincerely. But yet they don't want to accept the truth in reality. That okay, it works only this way. Yet therefore devotees keep taking chances. Okay, let me take a chance. Maybe this way. Maybe if I perform it this way. So they blame the tools or try to arrange the tools in a way that they can facilitate one's own desires. So Hiranyakashipu, in fact, when he gets angry, what the teachers they gave the reply, Naisargikiyam Matirasya. He said that Prahlad, what he is speaking is not that he is taught by anyone else. Naisargiki. It is so natural. This love, this statement which he is speaking, it is naturally evolving from him. There is no artificial in that. That's what he says. And therefore he says, you please don't blame us. And therefore we see that living entities, however corrupt, however evil one may be, there is a consciousness which keeps on pricking us at some point of time. Because it is naisargik, it's a natural state of a living entity to be fully conscious. And therefore, when we commit some mistakes or do something wrong, the consciousness, as a guilt, it keeps on pricking us, poking us, trying to improve. And that's the process of actually purification. And Hiranyakashipu, then he gets frustrated. He gets impatient. That's what, when devotees start practicing Krishna consciousness, it happens that first of all, we are used to hearing, chanting our own ideas, own hymns, our own mental approach for everything. And suddenly, when the scriptures say that every bit of your personality, every bit of your thought and intelligence has to be checked and improved, then it becomes a heavy thing. Sometimes when we hear classes, it seems very burdensome. Personally, I also feel this class was too heavy. Nothing too heavy, it was just too natural. But just because our own ego is so strong to accept the natural process, living entity becomes impatient and frustrated, like Hiranyakashipu. And then there is a constant struggle between the unnatural conditionings and the natural state of the living entity. But as Prabhupada says, that Prahlad could actually speak such things means actually he could also practice it, just because he was completely fearless. And fearlessness is a function of a person who is completely Krishna consciousness, who is completely Krishna conscious. So similarly, a practicing devotee also, he must practice the principles fearlessly, having faith in the Lord, that just as Prahlad was protected, because as Maharaj said once, that Maya and the material conditionings can tempt us. They can threaten us, but they cannot overcome us if we are taking proper shelter of the process. So that power is not there in the conditionings or in the evil within the human mind or the bad dog. It can only threaten or tempt, allure, but it cannot force you, take you directly to that place. That power only Krishna has. If he wants, he can directly take it. So therefore, if we keep on practicing the process, the basic processes, although with struggle, but with fearlessness, not getting discouraged, then it is possible that we can actually progress in spiritual life. In fact, the other day when I was reading, I came to the state, among the most pure devotees, it says that Prahlad is the, among the pure devotees, Prahlad is the most perfect. And better than him are the Pandavas. Better than the Pandavas are some of the Yadus. Among the Yadus, Uddhava is best. Better than Uddhava are the queens of Dwarka. Better than that, the damsels of Raja. And the highest is Radharani. So we can understand that sometimes when we see when reading the pastime of Prahlad itself becomes so heavy, that actually means when we see these devotees, Prahlad, Uddhav and all, we can understand there is a very, very long way to go. And here only Prahlad's state itself is so heavy to our consciousness. That state of fearlessness. So we can understand. The more one feels heavy, the more one needs to improve. It's actually like that. So, in fact, his fearlessness is shown in a more practical way when Prahlad actually appeared as Haridas Thakur. The internal practice of fearlessness means the practicing with complete faith and determination and not getting discouraged. And the external practice of Prahlad's teaching in fearlessness is by preaching, the way he was preaching to Hiranyakashipu. So, with this context that today some devotees are going to London and Russia, they are also taking a discreet step rather than, as they say, discretion is better part of valor. Because when Prahlad came as Haridas Thakur, when he tried to preach to Jagai and Madai, he was not preaching just as the same way he was preaching to Hiranyakashipu. Like even if Hiranyakashipu threw him anywhere, he was just chanting and undisturbed. But Haridas Thakur behaved more in a discreet way. When they first approached Jagai Madai and when they tried to beat, they ran away. So that was the discretion, that in preaching sometimes you have to take chance. Not only that, the more we approach the contemporary acharyas later downline, like Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, to preach the same message and to practice, sometimes, like Rupa Goswami told Sanatana Goswami by secret that I have 10,000 gold coins, you can bribe the jailer and then you can escape and then you can take shelter of the holy names. So such kind of processes were followed, bribing and other things. But that was just for to be discreet, not to be over brave or to jump beyond one's own abilities. They showed that. In fact, even till the recent when we have heard the preaching in Russia, the preaching in the Gulf countries, where so many of our sannyasis go, they go in pant shirt, just like two of our devotees are going to go. They cannot directly preach. But they preach the same message fearlessly. Fearlessly does not mean that sometimes you have to, that same fearlessness is covered by discretion. So, I think most of those devotees have left. I think we should all take their association more. Because they won't be there for 6 weeks. I had so many other things to speak, but Have they left actually? Leaving. So, thank you very much. Granthana Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.